Unitarian Universalists are people who value covenant over creed. This means that the most important thing isn't what we believe, but how we live. This doesn't mean that what we believe isn't important. We spend a lot of time thinking and learning what we believe. It means it's just the first step, though, that what we believe guides our actions and how we are in relationship with each other. It means our faith is in ourselves, in each other, and in the world we create together. I believe this is the faith for our time, right now, because it means that what we believe changes as we learn and experience life, and it means that as what we believe changes, so does how we live. This is so necessary right now. We are like onions, as the philosopher Shrek the Ogre once said. We have layers that dry up and peel off as we age. So we change as everything around us changes. Parker Palmer wrote the piece Virginia read as a reflection on change and on death, the ultimate change. The central image of his reflection is that of this thread that binds us together in a tapestry. Quote, the thread that strings together all you've been and done, the thread you didn't know you were tracking until toward the end, you see that the thread is what stays as everything else falls away. I find comfort in this image. It helps me remember that even though everything changes, and not always in ways we expect or want, that I'm still a thread in this tapestry that I've been weaving my whole entire life, and I will always be a thread in that tapestry. And because, like Shrek, I'm made up of all these layers, I think of that thread of mine as having many strands, right? Just like yarn, like my empathy, my skills, my communication style, my social awkwardness, my introversion, my curiosity. It's that last strand that landed me into a career in ecology, because I was curious about how the natural world works. It's also the strand that landed me in ministry, believe it or not, because I'm also curious about how we humans work. It has helped me build relationships as well as come to my own spiritual beliefs and practices. And it keeps doing that. So in the spirit of continuing to build and strengthen my relationship with you all, I've developed a spiritual practice of asking questions. If you have met with me one-on-one, you know that this is where I begin. I started my part in our shared ministry 7 years ago with listening circles, in which I asked you questions about your relationship with this congregation. And in the last few years, I've expanded on that practice by inviting you to ask me questions as part of a worship service. And I'll do that in just a moment. I want to tell you that your questions can be spiritual, they can be personal, they can be ethical, philosophical, religious, whatever you want to ask me. I will offer my responses, not necessarily answers, mind you, because I certainly don't have all the answers, but I'll offer my responses one at a time in the order that I see them in the chat. So I will ask you to write your questions in the chat. If you have a question and can't figure out how to use the chat, please either use the raise your hand function in Zoom or just literally raise your hand. Brett is watching out for this. He'll allow you to unmute yourself so you can ask it. We will do this until around 10:40 this morning. Finally, I want you to remember that this is being recorded and the audio will be posted on our website. So your questions will be on our website as well as my responses. So friends, what are you curious about? Please go ahead and write questions in the chat. Be shy. All right. Oren wants to know if I like chocolate chip cookies. Yes. There's an answer to that one. I love chocolate chip cookies. Any kind of chocolate, even white chocolate, which isn't really chocolate. Thank you, Oren. Do I see us doing anything for the Afghan refugees? I don't know. I think that's something I'll have to ask the Justice Leadership Team. If there is something you would like to do, a website you've seen, a way to connect with people who are helping, send me an email with that connection and I'll bring it to the Justice Leadership Team folks. Now they're coming in fast. Let me get back up there. Is anyone else like me feeling like they just can't slow down? I'm going 100 miles a minute. I am sure there are people just like you. Thank you, Mandy. Yeah. It's a really, I mean, I've been saying this for a year and a half, right? It's a really hard time. I can't answer that for anyone else. For me, I'm alternating between rushing madly to do the things I know I'm expected to do and stopping myself and relearning the lesson of the last year and a half, which is that if I don't slow down, I'm gonna burn. So I'm like making slowing down part of my practice. Carol says, part of life is death. What experiences have you had with death? There's a whole sermon there, or maybe a series. I think what I'll say for now is there are several people in my life with whom I've been honored to walk some of the steps toward death, offering company, offering water, communion water, offering my hand to hold. Sharing some of what I believe about death and dying, crying with folks. And I've also had people close to me die before I was in this work, where I've either just heard about something or, in the case of my dad, heard he passed while I was not living in the same state and flying there just in time to say goodbye to his body before cremation. There's a lot more there, and we can talk individually or in some small group if you would like, any of you, not just Carol. Alice and Richard say, what is your present definition of peace? That's layered. I think I don't know. Mostly what I think about is the feeling of unease and catastrophe that I get when I walk out in nature, knowing the harm that's being done to the earth. I know that's not what you're looking for. That's the opposite of peace. I'm having a hard time finding peace around that. It's so complicated, you know. We were we as a country spend time and energy trying to enforce our idea of what peace is in other places. And there's so many layers to that. For me, peace is the ability to this is my personal response to suffer through or with something of mine or someone else's and get to that point where I can take a breath, not ignore it, not distract myself from it, but get to the point where I can breathe with it. Tom says, why do you use call it a worship service? Not all UUs do. That shouldn't surprise you. I call it a worship service because worship is a celebration of what is, a recognition of the worth of what is, of what we are in community when we gather. Of what we can do together, and simply the joy and the worth, right, of our community. So that's why I call it worship service. Tom also says that we're looking for a local Wisconsin organization that will be helping to resettle Afghan refugees for a Share the Plate. Thank you, Tom. Laura asks, is there a coffee house at James Reeb? She just accidentally sent it to Mandy, I think, by mistake. We had a coffee house a couple of years ago, we had a coffee house with some members doing some entertainment and us serving some coffee and tea. Hopefully we can do that again when we are in person, but that will be a while. I would happily meet you for coffee if you would like. Eric is curious if we will be discussing the proposed eighth principle. Yes, I'll be talking about that in September or October, actually, maybe October. But yeah, that is one of the things I would like for us to do. I will bring it to Reeb as a question to ask if that is something we're going to do. Pete says, there are lots of people we don't see much in these days in services. How is the congregation engaging with folks who are not attending remote services? How many members have we lost in the past year and a half? How many have we gained? Very good questions. I am talking to several folks, not as many as I would like to, given how many hours there are in the day, but I'm talking to some folks one-on-one who aren't attending remote services. I notice who they are. Membership keeps track of them and lets me know who they are. We have a spreadsheet for that. I don't believe we have lost many members in the past year and a half. There are perhaps two folks that have ended their pledges or asked to be removed from the membership rolls. And we gained one in the last book signing, and I think six in the one before that, I think. Perhaps five, perhaps seven. But the last book signing before this past one was a big one. Walker says, the Rodwell translation of the Quran teaches us to let observe to have thy pace be middling. I don't know if that's a question, but thank you, Walker. Virginia says, how did the Unitarians and the Universalists come together? Oh, look, we're at 10:41. Quickly, in the 60s, both denominations were shrinking. They had realized for a good, I don't know, a couple of decades before that, that we had an awful lot in common, in terms of our understandings of the holy and of being a creedless faith. Both were creedless at the time, and about the importance of covenant and relationship. And actually the youth led the way. Before, in the 60s, the organizing bodies of the two denominations got together and had talks and signed papers. Our youth groups were meeting together for at least 4 or 5 years before that, talking about the things we had in common. Jeanette Clausen says, Lutheran Social Services is helping relocate refugees. Excellent. Someone to reach out to. There's more about refugee work. What happens to your name in the book if you stop being a member? This is a thing that irks me. Reba practice is to actually cross your name out if you stop becoming a member. And so the first few pages of the book, with a couple of exceptions, are all these people with their names crossed out. And that is what we do. It feels really kind of icky to me, but it's what we do. Arthur says, Jewish Social Services in the Madison Area Resettlement Agency, yes. And LRY, Liberal Religious Youth, was formed in 1954. That's 11 years before merger. Thanks, Arthur. Facts are hard when you're just standing here like this. That's all the questions. Thank you, friends. If you have burning questions that you want to ask in private, give me a call. Send me a text. We'll go for a walk. We'll get coffee. We'll do something. I want to close with an excerpt from the poem that inspired Parker Palmer to write the piece that we offered for this morning's wisdom. It's called The Layers and is by Stanley Kunitz. He writes, I have walked through many lives, some of them my own, and I am not who I was, though some principle of being abides from which I struggle not to stray. In my darkest night, when the moon was covered and I roamed through wreckage, a nimbus clouded voice directed me, live in the layers, not on the litter. Though I lack the art to decipher it, no doubt the next chapter in my book of transformation is already written. I am not done with my changes. May it be so, and may we be so.